Today we hear two parables from the Gospel of Mark, and often Jesus uses images from nature and from agriculture in his parables, so we certainly have examples of that. And whenever we read these parables that have to do with nature, agriculture, I'm always so grateful to be from an agricultural community. I grew up on a farm myself. My dad and my brother, who are both farmers, are here at Mass this morning. So I think we actually have a very privileged position, we who grow up in an agricultural community, a setting, to be able to penetrate the mystery of what Jesus is talking about in these parables. So the first parable is very simple, and it just has to do with the act of planting and the act of trust, first of all, that a farmer makes when he plants. And this is something I think is very interesting about planting and about nature. And it's good for us to study the natural world, to study how things work, because it's the same God who created the natural world, who created our souls. And so we're going to find things in the natural world that help us better understand the spiritual world and the spiritual realm. So one of these things, I think, is just the act of planting itself. And God could have made the world in any way. God, when he created the world, wasn't constricted to act in any particular way. So he made it so that there is such a thing as a seed, which is a small, dead-looking thing that looks nothing like the plant that it's going to grow up into. But he designed the natural world such that there's this little kernel of a thing that you put in the ground, you bury it, you hide it, and then it dies. But then new life shoots out from up it, and then it becomes something that you never would have guessed by looking at that seed itself. You never would have guessed that the mustard tree, which near the Sea of Galilee can grow up to 12 feet tall and be a very tall bush, you'd never guess that that little seed that looks like a dead little pebble, when planted in the ground, can grow up into a mustard plant. So a farmer takes some of his seed every year. Well, today farmers buy their seeds, so we have to, but he still has to invest his money. And I always think about ancient people planting, and what an act of trust that was for an ancient person to plant. So he plants barley or wheat. Those are the common crops grown in Israel. And he needs those things for food. So he has to hold back some of his food and bury that in the ground in the hopes that that food will produce more food. So it's a sacrifice. I mean, imagine that he doesn't have very much to feed his family with this year, but yet he has to make an investment. And so he has to take some of the stuff that he actually needs and bury it and trust that through the miracle of life and God's grace, that God's going to give that growth and raise up a new crop so that he and his family can be fed, hopefully in abundance. So there's a sacrifice that the farmer makes every time that he plants. And he hopes that the miracle of new life happens so that that sacrifice then is made fruitful. The other thing that we notice about these parables is Jesus' focus on what's small and hidden and silent. So if we think of after the farmer's planted, well, then Jesus says that he sleeps and rises and goes about his daily business while there's a silent miracle happening in the field. And the farmer can't make the grain sprout, but now he just has to wait. And that miracle of new life happens in silence, and it's all hidden. But then one day, he walks out to his field, and there's a little green shoot coming out of the ground. And that new life happened in silence and in hiddenness and in secret. But then pretty soon, if it gets enough rain, we have to pray for rain here, but if the crops get the nutrient and the rain that they need, well, then they're going to produce abundantly. So I was thinking about all of these different things with these parables, and I was actually thinking about this trip that I took a few weeks ago to Vermont, to the Carthusian Charterhouse of the Transfiguration, where one of my close friends, who's a Carthusian monk, was ordained a priest. This is Pentecost weekend, just a few weekends ago. So the Carthusian order is one of the strictest religious communities in the world. When Brother Maximus was discerning religious life when we were in the seminary, the diocesan seminary together, he told us who were his friends that we could write him as much as we wanted. We could send him as many letters as we wanted, and that we might get a letter from him once a year, and that we would be able to see him one time during our lives, and that would be at his ordination. And so that one time, that literal once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, happened just a few weeks ago. So it was an extremely moving and powerful experience for us close friends to be reunited. And it was very powerful to concelebrate Mass together, to be united as priests around the altar. One of the most memorable experiences for me was getting to tour the monastery, and that was a very privileged experience because they don't welcome visitors there. So this was an exception that they were making for Brother Maximus's priest friends, that they let us attend some of their prayers and give us a tour of their monastery. So Brother Maximus lives in a cell. And outside his cell, he has a large private garden where he grows flowers and decorates the chapel with those flowers. There's a downstairs where he cuts his own wood for his wood-burning oven. And then on the upstairs is his room where he sleeps and reads and prays. And he spends 20 out of 24 hours in that enclosure. And then about 4 other hours a day, he's in the chapel with the other monks at prayer or at Mass. He takes his meals alone. So there's a wooden box that's constructed into the wall of his cell, and that there's an opening on both sides. So the monk who drops off the food is on the outside of his cell. He opens up the box from one side, puts in his meal, and then when he wants, Brother Maximus opens the other side of it, grabs his meal. But that's all to limit exposure to others, so that he can have the silence and the solitude that he's called to live. So the monks do have one meal together a week. They do take a hike together every week in the Green Mountains where their monastery is located. But it's a real life of solitude and silence. He also brought us out to the cemetery, which had a series of wooden crosses without any names or dates. So when a monk dies, he is buried a few days, probably a day after he dies, without a coffin, without a vault, without embalming. He's just simply laid into the ground and covered with dirt. So I was thinking about the life of Brother Maximus Marie and the other Carthusians as I was reflecting on these parables of that seed that's buried in order to grow new life. And when Brother Maximus first went to the monastery, I was distressed about why God would ask this of someone. And even today, there are many people who would say, well, what a waste of a life. I mean, his family can come and visit him one time a year, but what a waste. What a waste of relationships if he can't be in relationship with other people. But that's because we don't have faith when we think that way. And we don't think of the ways of the gospel. Because the truth is that what matters more than anything is heaven. And in heaven, we'll have communion with one another, perfect communion with one another. But in this life, Jesus calls each one of us in a different way to make sacrifices. And a man and a woman make a great sacrifice when they get married, because what they're doing is they're saying yes to each other, but they're saying no to everybody else. And they have to then make so many sacrifices on behalf of each other and on behalf of their family. And it's those sacrifices that bear fruit in their life. The person who's unwilling to make any sacrifice in his life, well, he ends up living a very unhappy life. A bachelor who spends every night in front of the television drinking beer isn't happy because he does that. Because we're not made for selfishness or self-centeredness. We're made to give our life away. We're made to be buried like a seed so that new life can sprout and grow from the gift of self that we've made. When near the end of our visit to the Charter House, the superior of their community said a few words to us. He spoke to us for maybe 10 minutes. And listening to him, I just had the feeling that I was listening to a living saint and hanging on every word he said. And he said at the monastery, we strive to be totally hidden from the world. We strive to be anonymous because it's our goal to live the poverty of Christ. It's our goal to make up for the sufferings that are lacking in Christ, as St. Paul says, and to make an offering of ourself so that through our death, the world might live. If you ever have the opportunity to go to St. Peter's Basilica, there are huge columns that run the length of the basilica that are weight-bearing columns with huge statues set in each of the columns. And in those statues of the saints are all founders and foundresses of religious orders: St. Benedict, St. Francis, St. Dominic, St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Clare. There's a new statue of Mother Teresa in one of those weight-bearing niches. And St. Bruno, who's the founder of the Carthusians, is very near the center of the basilica. Because the church has always said that these hidden saints are the foundation of the church. That we wouldn't even be here today were it not the hidden prayers and silent sacrifices that men and women have made for centuries, providing the foundation of our faith, the spiritual power that undergirds the church. So, brothers and sisters, I guess the invitation for us who are not called to be a Carthusian is to find in our own lives the secret, silent ways of the gospel that we can make, so that we can make our own life a little sacrifice for the Lord. So the silent prayers that we pray that nobody else knows about. This is why Jesus says, when you go to pray, go to your inner room and shut the door where nobody can see you. Because the Father sees us. And the Father sees the little sacrifices that we make for him, and he makes those sacrifices fruitful, just like the seed that has to be buried and hidden in the ground and has to die in order for it to shoot up and produce new life. the little acts of self-denial that nobody else knows about, but God knows about. He takes those little sacrifices that we make in secret, and he makes them fruitful. So this is how we can live in our own way, in our own vocation, the gospel message, by making our life a life where we can live hidden with God, so that he knows the silent secret prayers of our heart. He knows the silent secret sacrifices that we make for our spouse or for our family. We don't need to tell them about it because God knows and God sees, and God's the one who takes all of this stuff, the life of Brother Maximus Marie that's been buried and hidden in the ground, and the little prayers and sacrifices that we make ourselves. God's the one who gathers all of this, buried, hidden, and this is what brings new life into our soul and into the church.